How blessed it is to praise the Lord, to recognize Him for His goodness to us and His greatness, and to give Him the praise that He alone deserves. In preparing for my message this past week, I preach expositorially. We go through a book of the Bible at a time. We are in 1 Peter chapter 5 this week, and along about Friday morning, I was contemplating departing from 1 Peter chapter 5 and speaking on a different topic. As you know, the Supreme Court of the United States of America has come down with an unconstitutional, ungodly ruling this past week, redefining marriage in America, legalizing same-sex marriage, and so I felt led to perhaps share from God's Word what God says to His people about this. Consulted with my fellow elder and decided to go ahead and continue with 1 Peter chapter 5 this morning. Next Sunday, Lord willing, I will bring a message from God's Word that I pray would be edifying, clarifying, and encouraging for us in the day in which we live. 1 Peter chapter 5. Last Sunday we began looking at this passage, the first four verses. We used it to examine from God's Word what elders in the church, what are elders? Who are the elders? What is their role? What are their responsibilities? What are the functions of an elder? And if you weren't here with us last week, I would encourage you to get a CD of our message. John Turner has them. You see him in the back. They're free. You may listen to it as well on our church website or on sermonaudio.com. And so let's begin with God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 1, Peter writes, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." And let's pray. Fathers, we have opened your word this morning to examine. I pray that you, by your Spirit, would open our hearts to receive your word. Father, you would open our minds to the truth of the Scriptures. Help us to put aside all of the vain reasonings and human philosophies of men that are at variance with your truth. Father, instruct us so that we might know truly and rightly your truth. And Lord, not just to know it, Father, so that we might live it in the life that you've given us. Use this time, I pray, Father, for your glory. Be with me as I speak. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Peter here, as he begins this fifth chapter, identifies himself as an elder. He's writing to his fellow elders. So either at the time he wrote this or previously, the Apostle Peter had served in the leadership of a local church, preaching God's Word, teaching from the Scriptures, guiding the church, shepherding the flock, some local church, probably for a while there in Jerusalem, but later on, maybe even in Rome. That's what elders do. That's God's call to elders. That is God's charge to elders, to shepherd the flock of God that is among you. So Peter here is exhorting these elders, the elders of the churches to which he is writing, churches scattered around in Asia Minor during the first century AD. He's encouraging, exhorting these elders to do what God has called them to do it faithfully, to do it lovingly. Verse 2, he tells them, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. shepherd the flock that is among you. He's speaking of the local church, the gathered assembly of believers, God's flock. Peter describes them as the flock of God. He's not talking about, it is the church that he is talking about, not a building, but the people. And the church, all of you and myself, we belong to God. The flock does not belong to the pastor, to the elder, to the bishop, to the overseer. This is not my church. This is not your church. This is God's church. It is the church of Jesus Christ. We do not belong to the state. We do not belong to the Supreme Court of America. We are owned by God, and we are accountable to God first and foremost. Other passages that speak on this, that we, the church, belongs to Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. I believe on the back of your bulletins you have some of those scripture references. You can follow along if you're fast. Otherwise, you can look them up on your own this afternoon and study this for yourself. I encourage you to do that. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves, speaking to the elders. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which He has bought with His own blood. We know that God the Father did not shed His blood for the sins of mankind. It was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, who shed His blood. And so clearly, Jesus is being referred to as God here. He purchased, He bought the flock, His church, with His own blood. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 speaks of Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. The head of the church. Christ rules over His church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, God placed all things under His feet, under Christ's feet, and appointed Him to be the head over everything for the church. Christ is the head of the church, not the Pope, not denominations, not the state, not pastors, not even congregations. Rule, own, run the church. Churches get messed up when that happens. When we take it into our own, use our own prerogative to do church the way we think church ought to be done, we can greatly go astray. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Christ is also the head of the church, which is His body. These various passages and what Peter has also written, any confusion here? I think God makes it very clear. Christ is the head of the church. He is the shepherd of His church. Elders, pastors, overseers, bishops are men that God has placed in His church. They are under shepherds to the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. And so Peter here exhorts the elders to shepherd God's flock among them, exercising oversight. And again, the most common title or term for these elders or pastors in the church is overseers. Overseers, exercising oversight. The elders, the leaders of the local New Testament church, are to manage the local assembly of believers. They are responsible to teach the flock God's word and God's ways. The elders are responsible to lead the flock into righteousness, into the truth of God, into God's love. They have the responsibility. We have the responsibility to admonish and rebuke those who go astray. Those who rebel against God's commandments. Those who claim to be part of the church but refuse to honor Christ with their life. It's part of the responsibility of elders is to shepherd them. It is our responsibility to protect the flock from predators, from savage wolves, false teachers, false doctrine, heresy, overreaching governments. We are to protect the flock as much as we are humanly able by God's truth and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Elders are responsible to guide the church with God's truth and in God's mercy. As elders, we must care for the flock. with the love and the compassion of Christ Himself. The elders are to invest their lives in the spiritual well-being of the flock. This is not just a job. This is a calling. This is a ministry. This is a life that God has appointed elders to and will hold us responsible for. As shepherds care for the sheep, we are to bind up the wounded. We are to help the brokenhearted. We are to weep with those who weep and to rejoice with those who are experiencing the blessings of God. That's the responsibility of the elders, and that's what Peter means when he says, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you." Exercising oversight. And he tells us how we must do that as elders, not under compulsion, not under constraint, but willingly, as God would have you. No man should be forced into the ministry. No man should be coerced into being an elder, pastor of a local church. This needs to be a clear call from God. And we need to have a heart that is made willing to serve the Lord in this way. Because not everyone does. I'll confess to you that growing up, even through my 40s, I didn't have the heart to be a shepherd of God's people. I didn't mind teaching them. I didn't mind instructing them from God's Word. I did not mind trying to be an example for them, but in my human fallenness, I am an introvert. In my sinfulness, I care more about me than I care about you. I cared more about me, but God has done a work in my heart. He's given me a love for you, care for you. I have an obligation to you, for you, and I take that willingly as God's call upon my life. He says here in verse 2, the second part, that we should shepherd the flock of God that is among us, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. No man should be in the pulpit or leading a New Testament church to get rich or to live a comfortable life or so that people will respect us, that we'll be prominent in the congregation and in the community. Those things should never be the motivation for taking the responsibilities of an elder. And in our culture, in our day and age, in American churches, unfortunately, that is quite often the motivation. When I was preparing for the ministry, I was working in an office and I felt God's call upon my life and I began preparing to serve the Lord, and God brought a man and brought him into the cubicle next to me, and lo and behold, he was preparing for the ministry as well. And I'm like, "How did God call you into the ministry?" He said, "Well, I was sitting in church one day and I just happened to think. My preacher has a bigger house than me. He's got newer cars than me. He takes longer vacations than I do. That's what I need to do." And I said, "God did not call you into the ministry." But God did. And God straightened him out on that, and today he's faithfully serving. But some men get into this for many reasons that are not the right motivation. Many people come into the ministry to get rich, to be wealthy, to become prosperous, by manipulating the people to give them money, and God hates that. So let's look at Ezekiel chapter 34 from the Old Testament. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel chapter 34. At this time in the history of the nation of Israel, the priests, the prophets were a disgrace. Many of them were in it for the money. They didn't care about honoring God. They liked the power and the prestige that they had, and so they began forsaking the Lord, and even leading the people into immorality, telling them, "Thus saith the Lord," when God didn't say it. They were preaching their own ideas. They were leading the people away from God, astray from the Lord God, and God wasn't having any of that. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, to the prophet Ezekiel, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel." And he's not talking about the men who are out in the fields shepherding the sheep. He is speaking to the priests and the prophets and the elders of Israel. "Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God." Ah, shepherds of Israel who should have been shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? And so God was saying, shepherds' responsibility is to care for the flock, and you've only been caring for yourself. Your job is to feed the sheep. No, you've been feeding off the sheep, feeding on the sheep. You've been feeding yourself. You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. And again, he's not talking about sheep. He's talking about the people of Israel, God's people. Verse 4, "The weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them." So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the wild beasts. "My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them." Shepherds, God says, you have failed me. You have failed my people. You have been derelict in your responsibilities. You've been unfaithful. Verse 7, "Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. And I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths that they may not be food for them." The responsibilities that God gives to the men He chooses to lead His people, those responsibilities are serious. Because we are not just dealing with earthly, temporal matters. We are dealing with the souls of men and women and children. We are dealing with the issues of life and eternity. We claim to be speaking for God and representing Him in His truth. And when we misrepresent Him, well, I think you can hear how God feels about that. And in the New Testament, Jude, the book of Jude, verse 4, a warning about false teachers coming into the church. Jude, verse 4, "For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people, who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord." And these are leaders in the church who are trying to change the gospel, or who are twisting and manipulating the word of God, saying that sin is no longer sin. Jesus is no longer the only way to heaven. Verse 11, "Woe to them. Woe to them. They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error," a false prophet in the Old Testament. "They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion." These people are blemishes at your love feasts. Speaking of the early church, gathering together as we will in the next hour for a love feast, a meal shared among the people of God. These people are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom the blackest darkness has been reserved forever. And that's what Peter is saying here in 1 Peter chapter 5 to the elders. No, no, no. You don't take that responsibility for sordid gain, to be wealthy, to feed yourself on the flock. Your motivation to shepherd God's flock must not be to get rich or to live easy or to indulge yourself. Pastors, instead, elders must serve, as he says, eagerly, ready to do God's work, anxious to do God's will. As Jesus wandered throughout Israel in his day and age, in the first century, the people of Israel still had no shepherds. The chief priest, the priests, the elders, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all hated the great shepherd. They hated Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, and put him to death. And the people that Jesus spoke to, the multitudes, because of the years of faithless shepherds, Jesus saw the crowds wandering and had compassion on them like sheep without a shepherd. They had not been fed God's word. They had not been taught God's truth. The elders, the priests had not been modeling the love and the truth of God before them. And so the people were spiritually bankrupt. Jesus poured out his life to the very end for the sheep, the house of Israel. That's one human thing that God used to bring me here 13 years ago. The congregation here had not been tended by a faithful shepherd. They had not been fed faithfully, truthfully, God's word. And when I came and the Lord allowed me to preach the word, from some in the church, there was a hunger for that. There was a sense of satisfaction at being fed by the word of God, and I sensed that they were sheep without a shepherd. And God used that again in my human decision to accept the call here as pastor. In verse 3, Peter now explains how, the manner in which elders must shepherd God's flock. He speaks of our attitude, our behavior in shepherding the church, verse 3. Not domineering, not lording it over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Pastors, elders, leaders of the church are not lords in the church. A lord is a master. A master over servants. I am not your master. I am your fellow believer in Christ. I have been given a responsibility by God to shepherd this flock, as has Robert and other men in our congregation. We are attempting to do it faithfully. But again, this is not my church. I'm not the Lord here. You are not my subjects. You are not my citizens. We do not order you around. We do not manipulate you or use force to do our own will. The church, the body of believers, belongs to the Lord God above, as do we, your leaders. Not domineering over those in your charge. I've been in churches. As a young man, we were in a church where the pastor was domineering. He ran the church like it was his church. He ruled with a heavy hand, an iron fist. It was either his way or the highway, and he made it very clear. If you don't like the way I am running this church, what I am doing, get out. None dared oppose him. He set himself up as judge, jury, and executioner. He was loud. He was proud. He was arrogant. He was domineering. He controlled the flock by fear and intimidation, threats, thunderings from the pulpit. He had what you would call a bully pulpit. He bullied the people. And consequently, the flock in that church was fearful. They were weak. They were malnourished. They were unloved by their domineering shepherd. And that is exactly what Peter here is condemning in this passage. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Being examples. We, your elders, it's not a do as I say, not as I do philosophy. It is exactly the opposite. There's not one standard for the flock and a lower standard for the shepherd. And so when I urge you to pray, and to pray faithfully and to pray fervently, I must be praying faithfully and fervently. When I urge you to give to the Lord, I must be giving. When we exhort you to read the Scriptures and to evangelize and to feed the poor and to abstain from immorality, I too must be doing those things. I must be leading the way in those things. I am called to be an example to the flock. We pastors are human. We are not superhuman. We are sinners saved by grace. We care for the flock. At times it is a burden, but it is a burden that God gives and a burden that we can endure if we trust in God's truth and God's Holy Spirit. But sometimes shepherds fail. Sometimes shepherds fall. Another shepherd fell just this past week. Perhaps you've heard in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Billy Graham's grandson had been the pastor of the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church. They announced on Monday that, I'm sorry, I can't pronounce his name correctly, Tullian Shavitagen. They announced that he resigned last week for actions that disqualify him from continuing to serve as a pastor. The Fort Lauderdale church offered no further details, but in a statement to the Washington Post, he, their pastor, acknowledged having an affair. Moral failure as a shepherd. I'm not bashing him here. I'm not throwing stones. He's just the latest in a long string of pastors, evangelists, missionaries who have had moral failures. I'm sad that he failed morally. I'm glad that he stepped down. I'm pleased that the church did not beg him to continue because he had been so successful. And through his example of failure, I am admonished to keep my life free from immorality and selfishness. I am praying for him, for his family, for the flock there in that local church. And I'm encouraging you to be constantly in prayer for me, that I may be able to withstand the wiles and the schemes and the temptations of Satan, so that I may be a faithful, godly example of what it means to be a follower of Christ. Why must the elders be godly and faithful examples to the flock? Well, first of all, because God loves His flock, His people. And He sets up shepherds that are supposed to represent Him. But secondly, because the shepherds are accountable to God for how they shepherd God's flock among them. Verse 4, Peter writes, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you, the elders, will receive the unfading crown of glory." If is not written there, but it is certainly unspoken. If you shepherd God's flock diligently, faithfully, truthfully, loving oversight, diligent shepherding, leading, protecting, a willingness to serve God and His church, not for earthly riches, eager to be a blessing to the flock, eager to be used by God to strengthen and build up and encourage the flock. And if we are faithful to the end, we will receive a reward from God Himself. We don't do it for a reward. We do it because it is God's call upon our life, and we want to please the Lord. And in verse 5, Peter moves from speaking to the elders to addressing the church, reminding the church how they are to respond to the elders within the church. Verse 5 begins, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders." Be subject? I thought you just said that you weren't king and we weren't your subjects. You know, as Americans, we probably of all the people on the earth hate that word more than any other people. Subject. Be subject. Submit. That's what it means. We don't like to submit. We don't like anyone telling us what we should do, how we should live. We just don't like that. But the command from Scripture is the younger, be subject. Follow the leading of the elders. Submit to their biblical ruling. A couple of verses that aren't on your bulletin, you might want to write those down. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, 17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy and not a burden. Submit to the earthly leaders that God has ordained outside of the church and within the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 16, 16. Submit to such people and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. Acts 16, 14. Paul, some of the other missionaries, elders, as they went from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for them, the church, to obey. Obey. Submit to the clear teachings and the truth and the imperatives of God's Word. Peter reminds the elders here in this letter, this first part of chapter 5, that they are not to set themselves up as overlords over the flock, but as they lovingly, faithfully, humbly serve Christ in shepherding His people, the flock is to be subject to their biblical leadership in the church. And he closes verse 5 with instructions for the whole church, how we are to live together as the body of Christ, how we're to worship together, how we're to serve together. Verse 5, the second half, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. All of you, humility, elders, young men, young women, everyone, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humility towards one another. Elders serving humbly the flock. The flock submitting humbly to the elders. The flock submitting, serving, loving each other humbly with the humility and the grace that God gives, and all of us humbly serving our Lord God, our God and Savior Jesus Christ. God gives grace to the humble. We want to live in God's grace. We want to live under God's grace. We want our life, we want our families, we want our church, our ministry to be marked by God's grace. And it only comes as we humbly submit ourselves first to the Lord, and to His Word, to His Spirit, to His elders, and to each other. God gives grace to the humble. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word to us pointedly this morning. Lord, Your Word to me, to Robert, to other elders in the church. Lord, I pray that You would not let us disobey You in this matter. Do not let us bring reproach upon the name of Christ. Let us be an example of godliness and not an example of failure. Lord, protect us from pride, from selfishness. Lord, humble us. Use us for Your glory. Lord, lead us, guide us, prepare us, move us to shepherd this flock of God, Your flock that is among us. for your glory. Lord, build us up together in spirit and in truth, and then use us, Lord, in our world. Wherever you take us, wherever you place us, wherever we are, Father, because of your faithfulness and love to us through Christ into his church, Father, use us for your sake. And as you do use us, Lord, may we give all of the glory to you. And may we praise your name as long as you give us life. And thank you. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.